All right, got to get my thumbs up back there. We want to continue our studies tonight in Mastering the English Bible, the prophetic books. We are in the book of Daniel, magnificent book, and wish we could spend a lot of time here, but we move on. Chapter 10 is the vision of God's glory, introducing the outline of coming events, and then Chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, we have prophecies of the immediate future. The prophecies pertaining to Daniel's immediate future. And these prophecies, Daniel gives great details about what's going to happen after his days, just after his days. And the detail is so amazing that the skeptics had a field day with this, and they said, well, he couldn't know what's in the future, so it must have been written afterward. And of course, it's because they don't believe in the divine inspiration of the Bible and the fact that God was giving him these things. No, Daniel didn't know the future. God knew the future. And the skeptics, and so they said, well, it was written much later in the time of the Maccabees, which is about in the 2nd century B.C., way ahead of Daniel. And after these, but that doesn't solve anything, because Daniel describes things that happened after the Maccabees. And so it's all nonsense. You either believe the Bible or you don't. And if you don't believe the Bible, why do you even mess with it? You know, go do something else. But then we have Chapter 11, 36 through 12, 13, prophecies of the distant future, so distant that they're in our future. Daniel 11, 36, the Antichrist. The Bible tells us a lot about the Antichrist in the Old and the New Testaments. So it must be very important. And we can't say, well, we won't see it, the rapture will happen before then, so it really doesn't matter. But if it doesn't matter, then it wouldn't be in the Bible and would not be for us. But the New Testament says these things are for us, upon whom the end of the world has come. End of the world, the end of the age has come upon us. We're at a very beautiful and hard but interesting and beneficial time in the sense of understanding the Bible. The Antichrist. Daniel 11, 36, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that which that is determined shall be done indeed. What God has determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and precious things, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at that time, and at the time of the end, shall the king of the south push at him. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen, with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land. Many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy, and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. And the first three verses of chapter 12 we will read. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book of life. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forevermore. Shine as the stars are suns. And that's what they saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He shone as the sun. Glory. That's glory. The glorified body. Every born again child of God will shine as the sun in Christ's kingdom, as Daniel will. And so this is a major prophecy of the Antichrist. And we have prophecies of him. Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 John 2, and Revelation 13. And this prophecy in Daniel 11 is divided into two major parts. Daniel 11, verses 1 through 35 pertain to the Greek kingdoms, Egypt and Syria. And after Alexander died, his empire was divided among his generals, and eventually there were four major parts, as the Bible teaches. And the general Ptolemy controlled Egypt, Ptolemy, and so it's called the Ptolemaic Empire. And then the general Seleucid controlled Syria and north of Israel there, and that was called the Seleucid Empire. And but this prophecy in Daniel 11, 1 through 35, particularly focuses on the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, God manifest, called himself that, and made coins stamped with that, Epiphanes, God manifest, Antiochus the fourth, Epiphanes. And these events occurred exactly like they're described in Daniel between 301 and 168 B.C. And that history outside of the Bible is well documented. It is found in Josephus' writings. Josephus was a Jew who fought against Rome during the first Jewish-Roman war. He was a captain up in the north section, leading Jews up there against the Roman legions. He was captured up north, and he joined the Romans. And there's different ideas about how that happened. But he joined the Romans, and he was an eyewitness. They were taken down. He was taken down to Jerusalem with Titus, the general, and he was an eyewitness to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, 70 A.D., Josephus. And then Josephus went to Rome, was given his liberty, and he wrote amazing histories, the history of the Jews, Jewish wars, and the whole history of the Old Testament. And it's great information about the events the Bible talks about from an outside perspective. And then these same events are written about in the book of the Maccabees, which is part of the Catholic Bible, but it's not part of the Bible. It's not divinely inspired, but it's history of these events during the 400 years, the silent years, between Malachi and the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. That's verses 1 through 35, and it's very interesting, every detail of it, But then beginning in verse 36, it's looking beyond, Daniel's looking beyond Antiochus Epiphanes. And Antiochus Epiphanes was the forerunner of the Antichrist, like many men have been. Antiochus hated the Jews. Antiochus brought his armies to Jerusalem. Antiochus captured the temple. Antiochus defiled the temple with pig sacrifices and goddesses and gods and stuff that he put in the temple. And he killed, slaughtered the Jews. And he made laws that they could not read their own scriptures. They could not be circumcised. And he was very much a forerunner of the Antichrist. And then all of a sudden, though, Antiochus disappears and the real guy comes into focus. And that's in verse 36 where we started reading. And there's a gap between verse 35 and 36 of more than 2,100 years. And we've seen that that's typical of Bible prophecy. And the prophecy will be talking about something, and then suddenly 2,000 years into the future, into another event. And that's what we have. Because up to verse 35, we have Antiochus Epiphanes and his doings, and then, boom, we're after the church age, because they did not know anything about the church age, and they didn't see it. They saw beyond it. They saw in front of it. They saw beyond it. And so, chapter 11, verse 36, the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Yeah, that's the Antichrist. He's the great blasphemer. He's the child of the devil. Gets his power from the devil. And he hates God like the devil. Exalt himself before Almighty God. Yeah, that's him. He'll do according to his will. Yeah, but very short time. Very short. But he will exalt himself and magnify himself and speak marvelous things against the God of gods. That's a major characteristic. We see that in Isaiah 14:13 in regard to the devil. That's the devil. We see that in 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Characteristic of the Antichrist. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Or that is worshipped. Yeah, that's the Antichrist. We see that in Revelation 13, 5 and 6. Revelation 13, 5 and 6. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. There's the same guy. Blasphemies. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. What's that? 3.5 years. That last 3.5 years. The great tribulation. And so we see that now. Daniel 11:36. Just a few highlights about the Antichrist from Daniel. Daniel. Some marvelous things. And then it says, shall prosper. He shall prosper till the end of the nation be accomplished. For that which is determined shall be done. And so that he's the devil's man, but God's in control. God's in complete control. The timing is in God's hands. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. Who's letting? God. Restraining? God. So God's time is in control, not the devil. The devil would put his man on the throne today, but he's not allowed to. For 2,000 years, the devil's been wanting to put his man on the throne. That's the mystery of iniquity. But he hasn't been allowed to. Because God's in control of these things. But the indignation will be accomplished. The indignation. God's going to let the devil and the world do their wicked things. And God's going to judge them. Indignation has all of those meanings. And then verse 37, indignation, anger. Anger. God lets men do a lot of things. The Antichrist and his times are under God's control. It is determined. Now, verses 37 and 38. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and the God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. And so he's not going to worship any God, but he is going to worship a God. He is going to worship a God. The God of his fathers is the Judeo-Christian God. He'll arise from Europe. Catholics, Protestants. And the desire of women, some kind of deity. Desire of women, it's in the context of deities. And gods and goddesses and stuff. Goddess worship, of course, has been very big throughout history. And then you got Mary worship. And that's bigger than ever today, actually. Bigger than ever today, Mary-olatry. And that's the desire of women. Don't know. Well, it'll be clear when it happens. In many cases, these things are not perfectly understood until they happen. We understand many of the prophecies today because we can see them having historically. Many of the first messianic prophecies would be hard to understand if we couldn't look back and see the fulfillment. Plenty of them can be understood. There's plenty light, but there is an element of that some things cannot be perfectly understood until they're fulfilled. So, desire of women, the mother of harlots, Revelation 17 mentions a woman, the mother of harlots, she's riding the beast, she is actually in control of the Antichrist, it would seem at that point, but he's going to burn her and destroy her, so he's the one ultimately in control. But there's a woman, Europe worships Europa. Even today, if you go to the European Union headquarters in Brussels, they have a statue of the goddess Europa. And what is she? She's a naked woman riding a beast. And what is that? Revelation 17. Right there, the most modern thing in the world. The European Union headquarters. Yeah, a woman. So, a lot of things. Oh, Mary worship. If you go to Rome, you go to the main Mary church, the main Mary church in the world. There's only one Catholic church named after Jesus, as far as I've been able to tell. But there's lots of Mary churches. And the main Mary church in Rome, you go there, and of course it's all about Mary. But if you go inside, there's a statue of Mary over here. Mary, the Queen of Peace, blessing the world. And then if you look up at the ceiling, there's a painting of Mary sitting on the throne of God in heaven, Queen of Heaven. But if you go outside, and the first time I was there, I missed this. But if you go outside and you go over toward a parking lot, there's a huge crucifix statue of Jesus on the cross. And on one side is Jesus, and on the other side is Mary hanging there on the cross with Jesus. And that is a Catholic doctrine. She is co-redemptress. Co-redemptress. She participated in our salvation. That's official Catholic doctrine. Most Catholics don't know their doctrine, but that is. Yeah, a woman. And then verse 39. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, shall divide the land for gain. For gain. strongholds, places of power. That's easy to understand. Strongholds, places of power. And so this God, whoever this God is worshipped. But this God has been worshipped by all the dictators. The God of stronghold. God of military might. Sure. And worshipped. Their militaries. The Antichrist will force the nations and their militaries to worship some strange God. The Roman legions worshipped a special God that they worshipped. And there's remnants of it in Caesarea Maritima, of the place where the Roman legion that was stationed at Caesarea Maritima. Cornelius was a legion. He was over 100 men, the Roman legion, stationed there. And he didn't, of course, but the legionaries worshiped gods, their own special gods. And so here the Antichrist is going to have a strange god. And the Antichrist himself is a god. It will offer himself as a god, demand that people worship him. So he's going to reject God, but he's going to be all about God, because that's the devil. The devil hates God, but he wants to be worshiped himself. I mean, places of strongholds. Strongholds, how about the American Pentagon? They'll worship this god. The Russian Central Command, they'll worship this god. China, I'm not sure what China's main stronghold is called. But you can bet that they have one. And they won't be atheists then. They'll worship this strange god that the Antichrist will require them to worship. Maybe it'll be him. And we see that the Antichrist will acknowledge and increase with glory those who join him. Going to heap riches and honor upon them. And it's not going to last very long. Most people think that the honor and riches of this world are really something. And they sell their eternal soul to pursue them, as these men will. And so then he will divide the land for gain, and that's Israel. He's going to divide the land for gain. Now, verse 40. And at the time of the end, shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him. He's going to be in full control not very long. There's these other armies and powers that are still there, still able to fight him and resist what he wants to do. He's not going to have very long of real complete power. Not very long at all. Because this whole thing is only 3.5 years of the fullness of his power. But he's got all these enemies coming from the east. And I think that's what's happening. That's the north, Europe, Russia, all that. But the East, that's China. That's the biggest power in the East by far. India's a big power. They're in the East. But who's in the Far East? China. And Japan's arming to the teeth now to protect themselves from China. And everybody is over there, because everybody over there is afraid of China. Yeah, in the East. China's top dog. And China's armed to the teeth. And who can field a 200 million man army? China, easily. And equipped them. Yeah, I think that's what's happening over there. China, if China's spoken of in prophecy, it's here. It's that Eastern power that's going to come. Yes, she is. And all these things are preparing for that. China's on a rampage. Everybody in Asia is afraid of China now. Not just Taiwan. And not just military. They're buying everything. They're buying harbors. They're buying all kinds of infrastructure all over the world, but especially in Asia. And they call it the Second Silk Road now. And yeah, Israel, all these things are preparing. We don't need to fear these things. There might be great trouble, but God has given us great promises. But we can see what's happening, taking shape. The East. I live in the East. And so the attack will come from the south and the north and then from the east. And we talk about the fact that a lot of this is Muslim territory today that's mentioned in these prophecies and how that might fit in. So he's going to, these wars, these are going to happen. This is during the events, same events that's described in Revelation, the last half of Revelation. All these things fit together somehow and are going to be happening at the same time. It's just going to be war, war, war. War everywhere. Billions of people will die. Yeah, of course, there will be nuclear weapons used. Those weapons are not just for deterrence. They're going to be used. Oh, of course, they'll be used. To kill billions of people? Billions. Just 1/4 of the population will perish just at the opening of the seals. That's just getting started. And then another time, a third, and oh. And Jesus said, except he shortened the time, not a soul would survive the thing. It's going to be amazing. But here we have a lot of information about it, prophecy. Egypt's going to get involved with it. Egypt shall not escape. Verses 40 through 43, the time of the end shall the king of the south push it in. The king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships and navy. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land. That's Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown. Just widespread war. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. That's the nation is Jordan today. Most of their territory is the old territory of the Edomites, Moabites, and Ammonites. Somehow Jordan is going to be bypassed. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. Egypt's going to be involved in those wars. He shall stretch forth, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. Now that sounds like Gog and Magog, the same crowd. Same crowd that will be aligned with Magog, old Gog, Russia. Russia's hated the Jews for a long time. Never been a friend of Israel. Who was it that was arming the Egypt and those Arab nations that were attacking Israel in 1948 and 1967 and 1973? It was Russia. It was all their equipment and some of their people were there. And, the Ethiopians and Libyans are those that will be aligned with Magog in Ezekiel 38:39. And all these things are going to be weaving in and out. It's very hard to figure out exact, time when this will happen and that happen. And we don't need to because if we needed to, it would be made much more clear. But what we need to know is, what's written there? That's all we need to know. It's very important to understand that if you're asking a question that the Bible doesn't answer, you're asking the wrong question. We do that. We want to know things. And then we get all caught up in that when we ignore what the Bible actually does say. This is what God wants us to know. And God does want us to know this. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Yeah, indeed, a 200 million man army, that would trouble you. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make many away, just wars and wars and wars and wars. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. We know what that is. That's Jerusalem. Plant the tabernacles of his palace there. And we know that he will desecrate the temple, the third temple. Set himself up as God. Yet, he shall come to his end and none shall help him. None shall help him. That's right. at the end, none shall help him. Why doesn't the devil help him? The devil's going to have his own problems. Like an angel cast him into the bottomless pit. Bottomless pit. What's that mean? It means a bottomless pit. That's how can you have a bottomless pit? I don't know, but there's a bottomless pit. Whatever the Bible says, that's it. Whether I can figure it out. In fact, if I could figure out a book that claims to be God's book, if I could figure it all out, I would know right away, not God's book. Not with my pea brain. No, this is amazing stuff that God has chosen to reveal to us by His love, by His grace, and especially for those that will believe. Tidings out of the East. Fascinates me out of the East in light of what China's doing today. Talk about saber rattling. They don't rattle sabers without using them. They're going to be used. Plant the tabernacles of His palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. And yet shall come to His end and none shall help Him. Indeed. And the Antichrist will be captured. He'll go out. We know the end of the thing. He'll go out with his armies. They'll arrive there at Valley of Megiddo, that massive valley. And they'll be out there and somehow have the idea that they can resist Christ, some kind of stupid thing like that. And He'll come with His armies on those white horses and the saints and the angels. And just with His word, He will destroy those armies and the blood will flow and the birds will eat. And they will take the Antichrist and his prophet and cast him into lake of fire right there. That's his end. Yeah, he'll come to his end. We know exactly what that means. Bible's so amazing. Bible prophecy. I love Bible prophecy. I love Bible prophecy. I can see the future. Who wouldn't be interested in that? Well, a lot of people. I made a track one time. What does the Bible say about the future? I thought, boy, this is going to be interesting to everybody. I mean, wouldn't it be? No, not really. But I thrill at it. To know the future. Because I believe this book is the infallible word of God. Therefore, amen. This... Amen. And how do I know? Well, there's 10,000 reasons. There's 10,000 reasons. There's probably a lot more than that. To know for sure that this is the infallible word of God. Therefore, everything it teaches is right. And therefore, the Christ that it presents to us is the Son of God. Who came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, no deceit out of his mouth, not even one lie ever, because he is sinless. And he qualified to pay the price that we owe God because of our sin. He qualified to take that punishment as the sinless Son of God. And he was able to, because he's God, and he's qualified to because he was the righteous man. And he died and he rose from the dead the third day. And all of that happened. And everything and all of that was prophesied in Scripture. And now everything the Bible says for the future is going to come to pass exactly like it says. We need to live our lives on that basis. Young people, this is what's real. This is what's real. And 50 years ago, I made the decision after I got saved, this is going to be the book of my life. Right there. Whatever somebody else does, that's their business. But as for me, this is the book of my life. I want to learn this book. And God's given me the desire of my heart. I wanted to study the Bible. I worked as a printer. My first job I got it was I worked for a newspaper for a little while. But then I got a job working as a printer, learned how to print, Florida Citrus Commission. And I did the best job I could do. And when I was ready to leave and go to Bible college, they wanted me to stay. I was doing a good job, but I didn't like it. I just wanted to study the Bible. And I had to fight to make myself keep attention on those printing machines, because I wanted to be studying the Bible. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. And God has. And that's what I get to do. And so, I recommend to you the Bible. We'll stop there tonight.